Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break, and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening.
$0 due at inception, plus license, title, and dock fee. 36-month courtesy car lease on a 2015 2.0 Turbo ATS and a 24-month courtesy car lease on a 2015 SRX. State sales tax included in prices. Chicago residents require use tax. 10,000 miles per year plus 25 cents per mile over. See dealer for details or visit wildcadillac.com. Offer good for 3 days following this message.
You hear that? All that fast talking? That's called Z-copy. Car dealers have to say, don't want you to hear it. I'm Irwin Wild. Here's what I want to say, and here's what I want you to hear. If you want a new Cadillac, get it from me. I'll do whatever it takes to make it worth your while.
Illinois residents lease a 2015 ATS courtesy car for $289 a month with no down payment and sales tax included.
$289 a month, no down payment, sales tax included.
Or a 2015 SRX courtesy car for $319 a month with no down payment and sales tax included.
That's right, $319 a month, no down payment, sales tax included. Forget that fast-talking Z-copy. Forget the small print. Get your next Cadillac from me and visit wildcadillac.com. I'll make it worth your while at Wild Cadillac in Libertyville.
Wild Cadillac in Libertyville.
Now open Saturday for service.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Score Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. The Cubs are 8.5 games behind the Cardinals and are hoping to pick up some ground this weekend in St. Louis. Cubs president Theo Epstein dropped by Mully and Hanley today, and he talked about the impact manager Joe Maddon has had on the organization.
I just think he's established a tremendous atmosphere and culture in that clubhouse that I'm not sure anyone else necessarily would have been able to, because teams become reflections of their managers in some ways. He's unique. You know, he just... talk about not sweating the small stuff. I mean, he's so genuinely positive and sort of and relaxed and loose and tension-free that rubs off on the ball club.
You can hear the entire interview with Theo Epstein at mullyandhanley.com. Jake Arrieta takes on John Lackey tonight at 7:15. Chris Bryant and Dexter Fowler both back in tonight's lineup. And starter Tsuyoshi Wada was scratched from tomorrow's game. Don Roach will start in Wada's place. Wada's shoulder will be reevaluated. Afterwards, the Cubs are hoping he only misses one start. White Sox, meanwhile, have won 3 of their last 5 games. They'll send Jose Quintana to the mound to oppose Anibal Sanchez tonight in Detroit. Quintana posted his 10th quality start of the season last time out. Chris Ranji coming up with pregame at 5:30. And Ryan Sandberg resigned as manager of the Phillies today. That took everyone by surprise, including the Phillies. Bulls introduced first-round draft pick Bobby Portis to the media on Monday. Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg says he thinks Portis can do a lot more than what he showed at Arkansas.
He moves very well for a kid that size. He's over 6'10". He runs the floor extremely well, which is very important with the pace that we're going to want to play with. He's good in the pick and roll. They play a different system at Arkansas. It's a lot of pressure. It's the 40 minutes of hell type system with a lot of pressing. And, you know, he was in the back of that press quite a bit. And with the turnovers that they created, he probably wasn't able to show his full package.
NHL draft is tonight. Blackhawks' first pick will come at 54 in the second round. Rumors are now starting to pick up as we get closer to the start. According to the Tribune's Chris Cook, several teams are in heavy pursuit of Patrick Sharp, including the Canadiens, Bruins, and Rangers. The Sun-Times' Mark Lazarus, meanwhile, is confirming via Twitter that Chris Versteeg did not nix a trade to Montreal. That was the rumor earlier today. And the first big trade of the night, the Bruins have traded forward Milan Lucic to the Kings for the number 13 overall pick tonight, along with goaltender Martin Jones and prospect Colin Jones. The scoreboard update is brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store, your Big Green Egg Superstore in Wilmette. Join 670 The Score's Chris Tannehill at the Sprint Store in Evergreen Park Sunday for a Sprint appearance. Enter for your chance to win great prizes, brought to you by Sprint. I'm Julie DeCaro, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. Next game on The Score is tonight at 5:30 when the Sox take on the Tigers on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Motorworks. Nobody works like Motorworks to earn your business.
Boers and Bernstein.
I'm bored.
This seems like a good bit of fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Who knows what could happen?
Throughout this morning, I was just kind of looking around regarding Chris Bryant. I saw that he came out of yesterday's game with flu-like symptoms.
There are a lot of flu going around right now.
I don't think so. But last month, in a game against the Pirates, a day game, he exited that game, too, with what was called dehydration.
A lot of players over the years have said they love playing day games at Wrigley Field because the light is so good and they can see the ball so well. On the other hand, there are some guys who are affected by the daylight because the daylight comes too soon, because it rises more quickly than they suspected it would.
That's interestingly phrased.
Boers and Bernstein.
You guys do 4 hours a day?
Five.
God almighty. I do three and want to stab myself in the heart with a pencil for you.
Talking Chicago sports on your ride home.
Hugh Steve Stone defeated Jim Palmer on June 7th of 1973.
Yes, I remember the exact incident. I remember that I was leading. It was my first start, I believe, as a White Sox. That was the famous three-man rotation we had with the Chicago White Sox. Wilbur Wood, Stan Bonson, and me. I got my first start in June. I threw 176 innings. It was on a three-man rotation, and they traded me to the Cubs and said my fastball didn't move enough. No kidding. I was getting 2 days rest in between starts.
I don't think we're even on the air anymore anyway.
Terry Boers, Dan Bernstein.
A show by the name of Boers and Bernstein that I've been told that they said some pretty harsh things.
The show goes on!
Boers and Bernstein. Days 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You still have a chance to stop by Lincoln Square Lanes if you want to put your name in to win some Cubs tickets. And we have our ice cold Bud Lights here for you as well. And actually, literally have them right here at this point. Earlier today on WSCR The Score, on the Speaks and Goff Show with Lawrence Holmes sitting in, Cubs president Theo Epstein joined the fun, and he was asked, what has been the biggest challenge since he took over the organization?
The most difficult part has also been the most rewarding part in that, in how complete a grassroots, bottom-up effort it's been. If you look around the field, you look around the organization, you know, there are a lot of players who are who have been acquired, you know, the last 3 years, and so for it to come together in some respects that quickly is really rewarding, a testament to the hard work of a lot of scouts, a lot of development people, you know, the leadership of ownership, and it's just nice to be able to show the fans something promising within a few years, because sometimes in baseball you can't necessarily do that when you're starting from the bottom.
But what are the things that you're looking for as far as makeup goes when you're looking at young players? On maybe a kid is talented, but there's a difference between a kid being talented and one that's going to be able to handle everything that comes with that talent once they get to the major league level. So when you're looking at young players that, and you've got a bunch of them now that are here with your team, what's important outside of what they do on the baseball field that will help them succeed once they get to the majors?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we spend, you'd be surprised how much time we spend talking about that in the draft room, probably more than 50% of the conversations about their personalities and their makeup. And there's no one profile that you look for, but certain attributes, I think, are real assets, and will tend to go in that direction. They have to love the game. They have to be hardworking. They have to be. They have to fit the profile of someone to be a good teammate. In other words, someone who sort of ultimately evaluates themselves by whether the team wins or loses, and not how they performed on an individual basis. When projecting how they're going to respond to pro ball and then the big leagues and then the big stage, we really focus on how individuals respond to adversity. The game is built on failure. And, you know, critical moments usually come right after something hasn't gone exactly right. So when you're talking about a 17, 18-year-old high school kid or 20, 21-year-old college kid, we really want to dig into their past on and off the field, especially off the field, to see when something has gone critically wrong for them, whether it's, some tough times with their family or facing adversity at school, how they responded, because that's usually a pretty good indication of how they'll respond to baseball adversity.
This is a couple of times now that you and Jed Hoyer have had your eye on Anthony Rizzo and have acquired Anthony Rizzo. What about him and some of the things that he's gone through off the baseball field and his maturation process? What made him be the guy for you to kind of say, this will be one of our anchors going forward?
Just a lot of what I just talked about with his makeup, that you know, he's not going to get down on himself. He's got that inner drive, inner confidence that, you know, even when he was hitting a .120 in San Diego, that wasn't real adversity for him. He trusted himself to overcome that with what he had been through off the field. And, you know, and you put it together with the physical package. I mean, this guy, if you watch him long enough, you understand just how natural a hitter he is. He doesn't have the world's, you know, greatest bat speed. He doesn't have, you know, a sort of prototypical left-handed approach and swing, but he's just got a great feel to hit in a big physical package with a ton of strength. And, you know, you put those things and extreme competitiveness and will to win that one-on-one matchup with the pitcher. So, and he moves around well for a big guy, handles himself great around the bag. So, and has shown, I think, earlier than we expected, real leadership qualities. He completely buys into what's going on at the Cubs. I think he loves his teammates. He feels that this can be, you know, a special group. And last year, he really stepped forward as a leader once he had established his footing in the big leagues.
You guys interviewed Joe Maddon in Boston, and then you had an opportunity to look at him up close when you're in Boston and he's down in Tampa. I don't know if you need any vindication as far as hiring him as a manager, but now that you have an opportunity to see him manage your club up close, what stands out about the job that he's done already and what you can expect going forward?
I just think he's established a tremendous atmosphere and culture in that clubhouse that I'm not sure anyone else necessarily would have been able to, because teams become reflections of their managers in some ways. He's unique. You know, he just talk about not sweating the small stuff. I mean, he's so genuinely positive and sort of and relaxed and loose and tension free that rubs off on the ball club. You know, I mean, we're a young club. We're going to make our mistakes. We're going to make our mental mistakes. We're going to have a game every 7 to 10 days that's, as Joe put it, not an oil painting. You know, there's some things we've done on the field that would really tick off a lot of managers, and then the manager, whether he knows it or not, can bring that into the clubhouse if he, you know, with a frown on his face or, you know, walking through the clubhouse, kind of fish-eyeing guys. And Joe doesn't do that. I mean, it's not an act. He just genuinely takes the positive from whatever has occurred on the field. He doesn't stress out about things that go wrong because he has faith in the guys. He wants them to relax, breathe, be themselves, and you've seen that in our play. It's been reflected in the fact that we haven't had the long losing streaks. You know, when we do play those brutal games, they don't linger. We don't play bad series, bad road trips. We come right back and play well the next day. And I think that's a testament to the loose atmosphere Joe's created.
When this front office jumped on board, immediately the roster was looked at, and Starlin Castro came up as a name that I don't know if he's a Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer kind of guy. What attributes does Starlin possess that makes him the kind of baseball player that you guys think you can win with? And is he the shortstop that you feel you can win a World Series with?
It's really hard to find offense in the middle infield. And so just by virtue of being the offensive player that he is, with the sort of innate ability to get his bat on the baseball and produce some offense, he's a real competitive advantage for us. I think sometimes people judge Starlin, they evaluate him based on what they maybe hoped he might be when he broke in at age 19, 20, and, you know, he's held to a bit of an unfair standard. I think the proper thing to do is to evaluate him against the other 29 shortstops or the other 59 middle infielders in the game. And when you do that and you look with sort of a broader lens and not just focusing in on the last couple months, he's really an impactful offensive shortstop. And so that helps us win, and the game's more than that, so it's important that he continue to make strides defensively and continue to keep his head in the game. And but he's, you know, he's a veteran on this team. He's 25 years old, and when he plays well, we tend to play well.
Is he your shortstop of the future, or will there be a positional change, you think?
He's our shortstop going forward, and we're blessed to have, you know, a number of really talented shortstops who can all play multiple positions. And I'm not smart enough to tell you how it's gonna shake out, but there are no immediate plans to make a position change. I think we've been playing winning baseball with them. We're 7 games over .500. You extrapolate that on out, that puts us in a decent place to be at the end of the year. And he's been our shortstop, and will continue to be this year.
Talking with Cubs President of Baseball Operations Theo Epstein here on The Score. Theo, we've had a discussion over the last.